Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. My next guest is Rich Waldrop, and he's calling in from Scott Work, which is in Ocracoke, North Carolina. And we're going to talk about negotiation skills, and topic that we're going to talk about is a few key points to remember when negotiating. So, Rich, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm actually calling you from Scottsdale, Arizona today.
Oh, okay. Well, have fun. We'll travel. Good.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about Scott Work and what the company does and how you got involved with it.
Okay, that's great. I wrote myself a couple of notes here. I'm going to kind of follow that based on our pre-work. First of all, as for myself, this is my second career. I spent 25 years in the family manufacturing business up in New Jersey. We had a company that built heating and cooling equipment, and we sold it about 12 years ago. I was the president when we sold the business, and it was my wife's family's business. We sold that, and I went from a career in designing and building things I was fortunate enough to just bump into Scott Work. Scott Work teaches negotiation skills training, and it's a UK-based company with offices all over the world. Our home office in North America is in Parsippany, New Jersey, which is where I lived until recently, and then I recently moved back to North Carolina to Ocracoke, hence the on the intro, that's my home office now. So that's just a little bit about my background and how I got to be here. Excuse me. As Bill, any questions? You want me to continue? Or?
Yeah, no, that's great. One of the things that people have to do almost on a daily basis is negotiate, and it's amazing to me how few people have really taken a course or a class in negotiating. There's some great ones out there, and it sounds like you do this. Now, you teach Vistage members, and Vistage is a large business owner organization that helps business owners come together and learn topics. So you teach and help them learn how to negotiate better. Is that part of what you do?
It is. So what Scott Work does is we actually run classes. A typical class size for us is 12 people. So if we're doing a Vistage group, it might be a Vistage, local chapter that meets. It could have 12. It could have a few less or a few more. But for our normal everyday classes, we bring 12 people together, and we teach them the skills of negotiating, simply how to be better at negotiating. So we're a big multinational company, and our typical clients tend to be the larger companies. But we run public courses, and very often on a public course, we will have local entrepreneurs, smaller companies, maybe the president, CEO, that type of thing, or maybe a couple of senior execs. So we get a mixed bag, but our general audience tends to be the Fortune 500 companies. So when we run these classes, we bring 12 people together. We put them through a series of interactive exercises where we give them what we call case plays. They go off and they prepare a case. They come in, they sit down, and they actually negotiate with each other their case that we've given them to prepare. We then record that, and we take turns watching each other, and then we, the instructors, record that, and then we take that recording and we play it back to the group that's just got done negotiating, and we tell them what we think they did well, what they could have done better, or what they could have done differently. How's that sound?
That's great. So you actually have them start off and then create some benchmarks and say, okay, here's where we are. Let's hold the good stuff and improve on the bad stuff, the stuff that we need to do. How do most people do out of the gate? If somebody that comes to the class and they haven't had yet the feedback or the training, do most people hold their own, or do most people are they really bad at negotiating when they start off?
It's about 50-50, I would say. And I say that because there are people out there that are just kind of naturally good at it. My daughter, for example, is one like that. She's 31 years old now, and ever since she was a little kid, she was a natural-born negotiator. Other people aren't, such as my wife. She avoids conflict at all costs. She hates it. She doesn't want to do anything. So we find on the class, we get, you know, all different walks of life when we teach these classes, and there will be people that it just sort of comes through naturally. They're very organized. They can figure out how to cut through all the information and get down to the brass tacks. And then other people need more time to think about it. So in either case, we can help them all be better. Sometimes we have to take the people that are really good at it and get them to slow down a little bit because they leave everybody in the dust. And then other times we have to help the people that are a little slower at it figure out how to be more efficient and get to the point more quickly. Does that answer it?
Yeah. Now, you know, some of the questions people typically ask is who should make the first proposal in a negotiation? So what do you say about something like that?
That is one of my favorites, and that is one of the things that when I first got hired for Scott Work 12 years ago, and I was on the course, this is after I had, you know, we'd sold our business, and I'd been running a manufacturing company. I had a lot of negotiating experience, and I was always taught by my father-in-law and most everybody I ran into, always sit back and let the other person make their proposal to you. And the reason that we tend to think that way is we hope that the whatever proposal they make to us is going to give us what we want and hopefully even more than what we want. And the fact is the mathematics don't support that. We see this on our course week in and week out. So we say given an opportunity of making or receiving a proposal, you're probably much better off making your proposal to the other party. Let me ask you a question, Bill. Why do you think people are reluctant to do that?
Because they're afraid they're going to lose the deal, because they're going to come out too strong.
Right. Well, it may be that, but more importantly, they're afraid they're going to leave something on the table.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, their proposal, the worst that can happen is your proposal may actually be accepted by the other side, and they go, oh, shoot, I should have asked for more. So we've all been brought up that way, and what we say is, well, if you've done a good job of preparation, you've really thought through everything that you need, and you've done your homework, and you come up with an idea of what's going to work for you in this case, and you propose it first, and the other side accepts it, take it, and move on to the next deal. Did that when I sold my house recently in New Jersey. I put a very aggressive price on it based on the recommendations of my real estate agent, aggressively in terms of not overinflating it, but, you know, pricing it right what I thought the market was. And I made the first proposal by putting it out there, and the first people that came in bought it. And we did the deal, then we were out of there in 6 months.
So you felt you didn't feel like you left something on the table there?
I did a little bit, but if we all have what we call buyer's remorse, then yes, I actually did have a little bit of that. But again, I talked it through with my wife and the real estate agent. We talked, you know, a couple of weeks about this, and we analyzed the market. And we said, well, if we put it up here, we're going to have a lot of people traipsing through our house. We may get an offer. We may not. But she said, if you put it right here, I think I have a buyer for you. And that's exactly how it worked out. And even so, yes, I still had a little buyer's remorse. But I got over pretty quick once I got out of New Jersey and moved to Ocracoke and didn't have to pay those taxes anymore.
Okay. Well, so that's kind of the key point that a lot of people would say is, you know, should I overbid and then maybe they'll take it, but then maybe I'll lose the deal and then they'll come back and underbid and we'll meet in the middle. Is that how a usual situation might go?
Yes. People generally, their approach to negotiation is I'm going to open over here at my ideal position. The other party's going to open over there at their ideal position. And then we're going to, what we say is we're going to haggle our way to the middle and split the difference. That's how people tend to look at negotiations. We try to get them to think of it in a different way. You know, come up with a really good defendable position, put it out there and stick to it. And if you do it well, the odds are it'll work out in your favor. There's no guarantee.
Well, then it behooves you to choose your ideal position. I mean, this is the way I think anyways, to choose your ideal number and then inflate that so that you figure if they underbid, they're going to underbid and we're going to meet back where I want to meet in the middle. Well, that overthinking
that, that depends on how you want to play the game. Yeah, if you want to play the game the way everybody plays it, yeah, that's what you do. We try to get people to do it a little bit differently. We say open with, well, we call it, we don't call it your idea. We say open with your intent. Here's what I intend to get out of this, and don't inflate it too much, because if you overinflate it to increase your side of the bargaining arena, as you call it, and your ability to negotiate, you may actually lose buyers away. Because
right.
you're just out of their bargaining arena. So we say try to take a little bit more conservative approach to that.
Well, and that's, you know, that's another good point is, you know, maybe the other idea would be, well, normally I would charge a lot more for this, but I'm willing to settle for this particular number here. But that's my number. Now, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're the expert. Tell me, is that work?
You can do that, and the way I did my house deal was I said, I will accept your offer at that price. However, you need to understand that there is no further negotiation on that. When you come in and do your home inspection, don't come back to me with a bunch of concessions because I'm not going to give you any. And I gave him a report and said, here's the house you're buying. Here's the home inspection. This is the deal. If I accept your offer, there is no further negotiation on the price, and it worked out very well.
Okay, so is that what a good proposal sounds like? Is that ideal?
Okay, so at that particular point, what does a good proposal sound like? That's actually the verbiage of how you would make a proposal. So let's take it out of house selling and let's take it into the business world a little bit. Let's say you are one of these people who has a business and you are thinking of selling it, okay? And you have done your homework. You've come up with what you believe is a good price for the market. And you decided you're not going to inflate it all over the place. You're going to, you know, you're going to say this is a realistic proposal. I think you should sell for this. And let's say you've got a couple of people that are interested, and they've contacted you. They say, I hear you want to sell your company. We're interested. I would suggest that rather than sit back and waiting for them to make you an offer, you take the bull by the horns and say, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Here is my proposal to you, the buyer. If you'll agree to pay me, let's just say it's $16 million up front, and if you'll agree to a management clause for me for, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, and if you'll agree to continue a few of the other little perks that I might have had when I own the company, then I will agree to accept a bid from you for $16 million. So the point I'm trying to illustrate there is you put your conditions sort of up front in the beginning, you make it clear what you want, and then your offer, in this case, the offer would be to accept a bid of, you know, X amount of dollars. So to summarize that, what we say, a good proposal should have the conditions up front, and then you should follow it with the offer. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. So put your conditions in qualifiers and then say, and if you agree to that, then I will agree to entertain your offer or accept your offer.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. Then here's what I'm going to do for you. And what it does, it forces you to think about what you want, so you can't just give things away. It forces you to think about it. It forces the other party to listen to you, because ultimately they're going to want to know the good news. You know, what are you going to do for them? So they'll wait, hopefully, to hear all your conditions. It tends to avoid interruption because of that.
Now, what if they've come to a Scott Work class and they say,
right.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. For your terms, here's our counter terms, and if you agree to those, then we'll agree to make you an offer. How do we get to close? How do we close the negotiation and move ahead from that initial point?
Okay, good point. So let's say that they have alternative terms and conditions that are different from ours. Let's say that we've reviewed them, and let's say there's two key points that we're looking at. There's really two approaches to this. You can go back and negotiate with them if you need to, if you actually feel like, well, we just cannot accept that. We have to come back with something different that's too far away. Or let's say that you've decided that, okay, I might be able to accept those terms, but I don't want it to drag on and have them come up with something else. So in that case, what you would do is what we would call bargaining for the deal. So in that situation, you would look at their terms and conditions that they want, you say to yourself, okay, I am willing to accept these, but oh, if and only if agree that that is going to seal the deal. There is no further negotiation. They're not going to come back to the well for another drink, okay? And you make that conditional upon the deal being signed. So that's how you might close off any further and ongoing back and forth negotiation. That make sense?
Yeah, put a condition on it that this will concede to some of your points, but that's it. That at that point we're done, and at that point we agree to take your offer with those conditions.
Yep. There you go.
Okay, so it's a chess game. And, you know, a lot of business owners these days, I'll tell you what's going on out there, Rich, in the business world, is they're saying, my last, say, since 2008, I survived and I'm recovering and I'm growing, but this business has a lot of earning potential in the future. Now, how do I communicate that to a potential buyer who's just going to come in and say, well, we looked at your financials and we're going to give you a multiple of what's happened over the last 5 or 6 years. And most business owners are in that position of saying, look, we need to lead off with, here's where we're going, here's what's going on, and they need to realize that not all buyers are going to have anything near acceptable terms and cut that off. So how do people find out about Scott Work and doing a public class and learning more information from you?
Well, the simplest way is our website, which is www.scottworkusa.com, excuse me, which will take us right into the company website. There will be a response from somebody in our Persephone office. Hopefully, if somebody does that, they'll remember to mention my name so that the inquiry gets sent to me, because I am somewhat of an independent businessman. Even though I am a full-time employee of Scott Work, my job is twofold. I develop business and I teach. So I teach what I sell and I sell what I teach. So if somebody likes what they've heard on this and they want to follow it through, I want to make sure that it comes through me and I get the opportunity to talk with them and try and go further. So that's probably the simplest way, is to just, you know, go on our website. Second to that would be my email and my cell phone number. I'm always open for business. And my email is rich.waldrop@scottwork.com. And my cell phone number is 201-738-8089, and I answer any and all calls if I'm able to.
Okay, let me clarify. It's rich.waldrop, W-A-L-D-R-O-P, at scottwork, which only has one T, scottwork.com. So, again, listeners, and if you're a Vistage member, talk to your chairperson about having Rich talk to your group, and teach your group how to negotiate. But it's something we all need to know about, and Rich knows what he's talking about. So get in touch, and Rich, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been very enlightening, and I really like the discussion that we had, and I want to follow up with you at some point and maybe go deeper into some of these tricky negotiating transactions that business owners face.
Well, Bill, thank you very much for having me on your show. And we run public courses in Los Angeles, and I know you're in the area, so maybe you ought to take a look and sign yourself up.
I probably should. Yes, since you now know my techniques. Rich, thanks very much for joining us again. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this message, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.